Hello, Brent. Thanks so much for joining us on 2SER this morning.
Thanks, Alice. Lovely to be here.
So you lead the animation process for the Wunungu Arawa Animating Indigenous Knowledges project at Monash University. Tell me a bit about the project. How did it all get started?
So the project got started because our project director, John Bradley, had been working with the Yanyuwa people of Borroloola for roughly, at that time, about 30 years. So by that stage, he had worked with the Yanyuwa people and had made or kind of written down like an encyclopedia and an atlas and kind of recorded all of their Dreamtime stories in just in a written form. He even started illustrating kind of what was going to be a graphic novel. But he found that the more he recorded them in text, the more that they changed and the less true to their form they were, being oral traditions and all. So he had seen some work that me and another colleague, Tom Chandler, had done and approached us with the idea of just turning these, what were texts at the time, into animations. So we kind of got a grant to do one, and it was a huge success, and we've been doing it ever since.
Obviously, this is about language preservation. Why is it so vital to preserve Indigenous languages?
Well, being oral traditions, like I said, the language is wrapped up. So I guess we have the country, which is like the area that the community is based, like the traditional lands. And then there's like the law that the society lived by. And then the language is used to tell that, those laws. So without being oral traditions, without the language, so much is lost. Like, you can record it in text, but there's so many like subtleties and that language holds, language is identity without that. So if you're speaking your native tongue, if you're no longer able to speak that, your identity is almost gone.
So most of the languages that you're working with, they're still spoken today?
Some of them aren't. So a lot of the languages that we work with have fewer than 10 speakers left. And by speakers, we mean that's the language that they think in and use every day. So most Aboriginal people, almost all Aboriginal people in Australia, will speak English or a version of Aboriginal English. But when you talk about like a native language, it's the language that you think in and the language that your heart like responds to. And so when we've got kind of less than 10 speakers that do that on a daily basis, that's the level of kind of endangerment that we're dealing with.
You mentioned sort of the idea of graphic novels. Why do you think digital animation is such an effective option?
I think it fits really well because of what we can do with it. I mean, we're working with the Dreamtime, which there's a lot of things happen in the Dreamtime that defy conventional wisdom. You know, we've got animals that would normally be in the sea flying through the air, and they're often talking to each other, and there's beings like the rainbow serpent and quinkins and all these, you know, things. So we can recreate those to the best of our ability using the guidance of community leaders. This is stuff, things that we couldn't do, obviously, with film. But being animation, it requires audio and a visual experience, whereas a novel, graphic novel, requires you to read, which there's so many like subtleties and inflections in language that you can't portray just with text. And animation, you're able to do that really well. And I think naturally part of what we're doing is trying to get like intergenerational conversations back happening. And I think the younger generations are naturally drawn to animation. It's kind of got a dreamlike, you can capture like a dreamlike quality that kids really respond to.
I can see that. And the landscapes you create in these short films are absolutely stunning. It must take forever to make.
Yeah, it takes some time. We work at roughly a month per minute of screen time. The more we do new landscapes and climates, the quicker we can kind of recreate the areas that we're working with. Like, so, you know, a desert scape, it all kind of comes down to light and vegetation and the color of soil. So if you're in the desert, we can quickly change the, like, or Northern Australia, change the soil to that red ochre color. In the south, it's a lot richer brown, and the colors of tree leaves change. And
so much detail there. I mean, do you make it out yourself personally to all of these places and the landscapes where these stories come from?
Yeah, as much as we can, we do. I mean, it's vital for us to really see and spend some time in the country that we're animating for, just to see the light. I think so much of the landscape depends on the light, the position of the sun in the day, the way it passes through leaves and reflects off waters and all this kind of stuff. So to be there and really see that and experience it, it's vital for us to capture that.
I'd love to hear about an example of one of the stories that you've animated.
So I think one of the highlights for us was working with the Tongarong of Central Victoria, which we did the story of how humans first got fire. This is a really interesting story, but it was mostly interesting because the Tongarong, being in Central Victoria, the language was almost decimated 150 years ago. So we worked with the community for months and months with linguists and language coaches to essentially recreate this language to tell the story in its original format, which is hugely exciting. And that's only a 10 or 11 minute animation, and it took almost 3 years to finish. And most of that time was going through the story and the language and kind of getting it up to a point where we were ready to record it.
How do you find these stories? What's the process there?
We like to be approached. Our Indigenous liaison project kind of coordinator, Fred Leone, is an Indigenous man from Brisbane. His ancestral home is the Butchala, which is up around Harvey Bay, Fraser Island, traditional owner. And so he's very well known within the Indigenous community. He was in a rap group in the 90s called Impossible Odds, which was hugely popular. He's a musician. He played in Black Arm Band. So he's pretty well known in and out of the Indigenous community. So he, part of his job to kind of put the word out of what we do. And we put on events and kind of press releases and this kind of thing. And then from there, we just wait for communities to contact us.
Is there a particular type of story or common themes that communities approach you with?
Mostly we've done traditional narratives from the dreaming, like creation stories. But we've also done contemporary poems and contemporary songs. We've also done song lines, which is similar to a ancestral, like a narrative. So, yeah, it's pretty broad. It depends what each community is, what they're interested in animating. We sat down with one old lady in the Northern Territory who, when she was a kid, used to be a goat herder. And when she was a kid, she wrote this song about herding goats in her native language. And she really just wanted that animated. So we recorded her singing the song and then built a little digital version of her and some digital goats and just made a little animation of her walking through the country with her goats. It's not so much as important as what the story or the song or what it is, as long as it's kind of an example of the language in a recorded, and then we can make some visuals to match.
And who's the main audience for these animations?
Like, I think they're interesting and kind of exciting enough that they can be for any audience. But there's also an aspect of what we do with fall within the community to keep certain things within the animation a little bit vague so that it does require questions to be asked. So if there's, you know, some part of the animation or the story that's a little left a little bit not fully explained, it's an opportunity for then the kids to, you know, ask grandma or grandpa, what does that mean? What's going on here?
So it's less prescriptive and more of like an opener for conversation and learning and sharing.
Yeah, exactly.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much, Brent, for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.